This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. We'll start today's program with a look at the latest on the coronavirus in the Sunshine State. The Florida Department of Health reports the number of confirmed cases in Florida has climbed to 390 as of this afternoon. That includes 30 non-Florida residents who are in isolation in Florida. The number of deaths from COVID-19 in Florida now stands at 8 people. The latest death was reported Wednesday in Clay County. Governor Ron DeSantis and Division of Emergency Management Director Jared Moskowitz have announced that Florida is continuing to order supplies and personal protective equipment. Moskowitz has requested supplies through direct federal assistance, including 5 mobile intensive care units, 5,000 ventilators, 500,000 collection kits for testing, and 150,000 personal protective equipment kits, in addition to other items. Florida U.S. Representative Mario Diaz-Balart has become the first known member of Congress to test positive for COVID-19. The Miami Republican announced in a statement Wednesday that he's placed himself in isolation in Washington, D.C. The AP reports Diaz-Balart opted not to return to South Florida because his wife has a pre-existing medical condition. Later Wednesday evening, Utah Democratic U.S. Representative Ben McAdams announced that he's also tested positive. Meanwhile, other members of Congress, including Florida U.S. Senator Rick Scott, are under self-quarantine, but they have not reported positive results. Earlier this week, DeSantis ordered the closure of all bars and nightclubs in the state for 30 days, and beaches and beach parking lots are also closing in Lee and Collier counties. Collier County closed beach parking throughout the county at sunset Wednesday until further notice. Beach access points in Collier remain open to the public for now. Collier Area Transit is also stopping operation of the beach bus route. The city of Naples closed all public beaches within city limits Wednesday. County-owned beaches in Lee and the Fort Myers Beach Pier are closing until further notice. That takes effect at 6 p.m. tonight, and that closure will impact beach parking lots, restrooms, and public beach access points. Lee Trans beach trolley service and tram service is being suspended this evening as well. On Sanibel Island, beach parking points are also closed indefinitely as of Wednesday evening. Switching gears, in addition to Florida's presidential preference primary election this past Tuesday, voters in Naples also decided several races in city government. The results were quite an upset, with voters ousting 3 incumbent city council members. Likewise, challenger Teresa Heitman won her race against incumbent Naples Mayor Bill Barnett. Heitman is a longtime resident of Naples, and she served on the city council herself for 8 years when she became the first sitting city council member to serve on the board of the Florida League of Cities. She's also a former account executive with major cosmetic firms like Revlon and Lancome. And as a private citizen, she's been an active, civically engaged resident. She founded Girls Inc., which was previously known as the Boys and Girls Clubs of Collier County. Earlier today, I sat down with Naples Mayor-elect Teresa Heitman for a closer look at her background and her vision for the city of Naples going forward. Let's hear that conversation now. Teresa Heitman, congratulations on your victory Tuesday and welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure and my honor to be with you.
And perhaps the best place to start would be from the beginning. You and your husband first established residency in the city of Naples some 3 decades ago. What prompted your decision to move to Naples? And as you reflect back on that time, what, from your perspective, are some of the biggest changes the city has gone through over the past 30 years?
One of the reasons that we chose to move here is because of the quality of life. It was a small town. We wanted to raise our children in a safe environment and not a congested city. And that was Naples, and it was close to the beach. And that was the most important thing for my husband. He wanted to be able to go to the hospital and deliver babies and be at the beach and wait.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I imagine maybe one of the biggest things that's changed is maybe just population density. Maybe it was kind of a best kept secret decades ago, but folks want to come here now, live at the beach.
Well, the changes that we've seen are definitely changes of growth in tourism, because we've started to market Florida and especially Naples. We were a hidden little city, and every city grows and changes. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of people knew about our beautiful town, and I'm not really sure we had to let the world know through tax dollars about our city, because people have been coming to Naples from Germany, across the country for years. And the changes that have happened have actually affected our environment and the traffic and that density. And that's one of the reasons that I ran, because we can grow smart as long as we follow our codes that protect the character and the charm of the community. And those codes were not being followed. We were basically giving Naples away.
Yeah, you're hitting on what had been, you know, one of your key priorities on the campaign trail. Tell me more, because, again, for maybe folks who aren't familiar, you did serve on city council for 8 years, so it's not like you're unfamiliar with this process. What has city government been doing that you want to change when it comes to the nature of approving developments, new development?
I think the priorities have been in the wrong place. The residents' needs, the infrastructure needs, our roads, the pipes that are underneath our stormwater system, our sewer system, you know, some of those are so antiquated. You know, 50 years old, we still have clay pipes and they haven't been upgraded. And I think it's because growth hasn't really paid for growth. And one of the issues that I was very persistent on is the beach removal, the outfalls at the beaches that needed to be removed by the Department of Environmental Protection. We had a mandate since 2005, and when I was elected in 2008, it was one issue. As I said, I just persisted that we remove those outfalls. And unfortunately, the procrastination or ignoring of removing them and not being a priority of the members of council, even though it was budgeted. And it's now 2020, and they still have not been removed. And that's polluted stormwater going into our beaches. And that is a very important key, obviously, to the people who purchase homes here. The reason tourists come here is our beautiful beaches. And it's a shame that we have ignored it. And it's actually irresponsible that we have done that. So, you know, there are many things that along that with the environment and the stormwater pollution, that's what really made me run.
I wanted to touch on something you had said when you spoke last fall before the Naples Daily News editorial board. And this concerned a particular incident with the city manager and what's called the Sunshine Room. And you talking about this lack of accessibility to documents needed by you and other, you know, elected officials in the government to cast informed votes when proposals come before the council. Can you tell me a bit about that? Is that something that, in your experience, you have seen be an issue? Council members casting votes on development proposals when, you know, maybe there hasn't been a traffic study or they haven't done their due diligence and research on it?
The problem was transparency and not informing the council from a larger picture. Isolating the information that the city council was presented was a big concern. So the transparency in the Sunshine Room, you know, where all of the you would have gone to a consultant to do a project, you know, it should be available to the public. That their tax dollars have paid for those, and they should be able to review them. And it was very disturbing to me when they were removed.
Well, let's, you know, talking about your time on Naples City Council, what do you consider, you know, among your greatest accomplishments there over that 8-year period?
Well, I was able to accomplish the fertilizer ordinance, which obviously the phosphorus and the nitrogens that are polluting our waterways really aggravate the red tide. And actually, it was very disappointing. Less than a year when I left council after serving 8 years, the council rescinded that legislation. And then fortunately or unfortunately, when we had the massive red tide outbreak in the last, 2 years, they reestablished that fertilizer ordinance, just making sure that during the rainy season that people aren't applying fertilizer, which actually washes right into our lakes and into the bay and into the beaches, creating, more of a red tide than normal.
Right. Those nutrients feeding the bloom.
Well, so that would be one of them. I think that I also made aware of other issues that were happening within the state and from a federal issue as far as legislation affecting our waterways. So I think I was very effective in trying to bring the regional, the state, and the federal issues that face the city to the attention of council.
So is that something that you've seen in the past as perhaps a weakness, just not the level of engagement you would like to see with what's going on with lawmakers in Tallahassee and in D.C.?
Absolutely, and that'll be my commitment as mayor, is to make sure that we're working with the county and not just working, but making sure that we have accomplished our goals. So I'm really looking forward to the county participation and making sure that we protect the city, because we have the taxes from the county. We pay taxes to the county, and it's very important that we work with the county and making sure that, especially right now with the coronavirus, we must work with our county.
And you're the first Naples City Council member to serve on the Florida League of Cities board. Tell me about your work with the Florida League of Cities, what you learned, and how you think that will help you lead effectively as mayor.
Well, I was on the environmental committee, and I also chaired that committee. And, you get in a city council legislation, and you don't really look at the bigger pictures. So, learning from other cities and other mayors and other council members throughout the state of Florida, addressing issues that they have and finding out the way they go through their process, I think benefited myself being a better councilwoman and being able to make better recommendations for agenda items that we needed to address on council.
Okay, we've talked about, some of the environmental concerns, particularly, stormwater and nutrient pollution. Also, of course, the issues regarding development. But what about when it comes to financial management of the city? Because I know that's another key issue for you.
Well, I think that our budget needs to be a little bit more transparent than it is. And we definitely need to address how we are going to fund our unfunded liabilities for our pensions, because when we make a commitment to our unions, to our police department, to our fire department, to our general employees, we need to make sure that we can meet those obligations. And it just needs to be addressed. We just need to figure out how we will address the approaching $40 million deficit. And also making sure that we've made many changes to our fund balance policies. And that has now created a problem for us in being able to address the issues before us on removing those beach outfalls. So we're going to be looking at our policies and procedures within our finance department, and it's time also to get an audit. We need a forensic audit. So we've never, to my knowledge, it was part of the code, And we have an audit, you know, a basic audit, but we have not had a forensic audit in the city for over 40 years that I know of.
All right. Well, I do want to take a little bit of a step back from this and maybe look back at your life, maybe even before moving to Naples, when you worked as an account executive in the Jacksonville area with companies like Lancome, Revlon. Tell me about that work in the private sector and how you think that experience helped you as a city council member in the past and as a mayor going forward.
Well, as the account executive for the larger corporate firms, I had large territories, managed hundreds of people, working to bring them together. Obviously, it was a sales position for them, so to motivate people and advertising, you know, part of one of the biggest keys that I was working with is the advertising budget and long-term planning. You know, when you're in sales, you have to look at budgeted items and you have to plan for the future and make sure that you have the products to be able to provide during for that budget, meet your budget. So I think that my work in the cosmetic industry and the retail industry, I know how to work with people. I love working in community. You know, that I was in a different city every day traveling throughout Florida and South Georgia when I was with Lancome. There's a lot of planning that goes into that and a lot of visioning. So I think that that benefited me in being able to accomplish what's before me. But, you know, public service is completely different than private. And that's exactly what the way I will look at the position now. This is not, you have to have ethics in government and you have to be, represent the people that have voted you in. And that will be my priority as a public servant and as mayor for the city of Naples.
Yeah, your civic engagement activity, you know, even as a private citizen before serving on council, is pretty impressive. Tell me about founding Girls Incorporated, as it's called now, what that organization does and why you said, you know, to yourself, I want to start this. I want to meet this need.
Well, we'll go back to the reason we moved here is my husband wanted to be close to the beach and close to the hospital because he delivers babies, or he's an OBGYN. And I worked in his office and helping him establish his first office. And I experienced, obviously, watching his nurse was the main provider for her three girls. And at around 3 o'clock, she'd start calling home, making sure they were home safe, telling them to do their homework, meanwhile also, you know, being his nurse. So, you know, she had dual roles that were extremely important. And there were issues with women that I saw from his office that reminded me of a conversation that I had had with a woman from Sarasota who was actually on a board of Boys and Girls Club in Sarasota, and she told me about their programs. And I just called her and said, you know, I think the things that you discussed with me about Boys and Girls Clubs, there might be a need for Boys and Girls Clubs here in Naples. And we started the process. I called Mrs. Gaynor, asked her for $50,000, and we started with a board. And right as we were starting up Boys and Girls Clubs, there was a major lawsuit between the boys clubs against the girls clubs, and we became Girls Incorporated. Long story short, I started having children, and I asked Mary Pat Hussey to take over, and we were Girls Incorporated at that time, but I had told her my vision really was to be a Boys and Girls Club, and if you look what this community has accomplished, We have a beautiful center off of Davis Boulevard, serving the community and fulfilling my vision and hopes and dreams for our Boys and Girls Club in the community. I guess I'm a person who sees a problem and wants to find a solution to it, which is probably why I ran for mayor, because there are some issues that we discussed, and I think that I have a better, or I think I can provide a better way of managing the taxpayers' dollars and accomplishing those goals.
Yeah. Was it a bit awkward mounting a campaign to challenge Bill Barnett, given how closely you two had worked together in the past? And I believe he played a pretty instrumental role in getting you to run for city council in the first place, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He asked me to run for city council when he was mayor back in 2008. And no, it wasn't a difficult campaign. It wasn't difficult even getting the campaign started, because it was really a grassroots effort. The community just got behind me and encouraged me, raised money, because they didn't like the direction that the community was going into and moving towards. So it was an excellent campaign, and I really contribute that to the people who wanted the change in Naples and wanted the citizens to be heard. They wanted their concerns to be addressed. And I'm very proud of what they accomplished. And I think the voters spoke clearly. It was a clean sweep.
Yeah, it was your race, but then as well, we saw three incumbents on the city council lose their seats to challengers. What's the message voters are sending here?
Well, as you very well know, what's important when you're sitting at the dais and being able to move legislation forward is the votes, and the majority wins. And Linda Penniman had asked me to run for mayor. I was humbled and honored to do so, but I told her I couldn't do it unless we had three or like-minded candidates. And she found three great candidates. And we, even though we didn't run campaigns together, we just have the same philosophy and where this community should be going. And you can tell the voters spoke loud and clear. They want change. They want to be heard. And they want transparency in the government. And they want the priorities of the council to be focused in on their needs.
Well, well said. Teresa Heitman, newly elected mayor of the city of Naples, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us. I hope this is just the first of many conversations.
I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of the program, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, wgcu.org/GCL, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.